Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the Word of God. Lord, we ask your blessing now upon the Word, and the truth would enter our hearts, and that your Spirit would teach us. We love this wonderful truth that it's the Spirit who teaches us. So thank you and praise you. It's caused us tonight, Lord, to be more and more like Jesus, more in love with you, Jesus, than when we came tonight. And this I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Romans 14:14, but the thought picks up midway in verse 13 for us tonight. Now, our Lord was very clear with us, not to judge, okay? Except he goes on, when he describes that, and he goes on to make judgments. So we're going to grow up again tonight. We're going to understand what the Lord means when he says, judge not lest you be judged, for with the measure that you use, it will be used against you. And right in the middle of chapter 14 here, Paul is described not to despise one another, or not to judge one another, related to, again, the differences of food and the day of worship. That's the context for the church at Rome, and it still works today. And when I describe this for us in this way, I think 13 is that first part of that. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather. So we do have a judgment to make. And I think if you listen to this and you look at this together with me, I think it comes together. Like, I can judge this way and not be concerned if I'm judged by it. Again, you know how Paul describes himself, that he is judged by no man? In fact, he describes himself in his relationship with the Lord that he doesn't even judge. Again, he's not judged by another. He doesn't even judge himself. He learned how to entrust all of his judgment to when he would meet with the Lord. And when 13 says, but judge this rather. And so make this our judgment. So when we talk about growing in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, and we talk about that, there is judgment that we are to have. He says, judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block, again, or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And we can do that as a church. We can say, okay, our judgment together as church, that we would live our lives in such a way not to stumble or ensnare any other believer. You'll notice that it's not for us to go around and, you know, search out for everybody else how we would say they should be living. I think that's the whole point. In other words, take care of yourself. And if we as a church take care of ourselves, now we have something that we've been walking in for months to be genuine church. To take Romans 12 and say that's for us, and together within the body of Christ too, let's judge this rather, that we would give ourselves to be genuine church with one another, to let our love be without hypocrisy, to abhor what is evil, to cling to what is good, be kindly affectioned to one another in brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. All these things that we have been studying for months that I just lay before us now, judge this rather, that we would be a church that would be full of Jesus. Isn't that what it is? It really is that. Now, I've entitled tonight, it's been a while since I've entitled any of the studies here on Wednesday night, but I've entitled tonight's Bible study, Double E, Double Plus. Double E, Double Plus. And some of you are like, what is that? Well, I know one of my daughters will be geeking out about this title when she sees it and when we talk about the Bible study tomorrow. But let me lay this forth in this way. Double E. Ephesians 4:11. God gave to the church some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for, okay, if you're reading out of the King James, for the perfection of the saints, right, for the work of ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Well, the New King James says to equip and edify. So there's my double E, okay? There's my double E, equipping and edifying. Tonight's Bible study continues what we've been studying to grow up in the Lord and to be complete and to be equipped and edified. So there's your double E. Let me lay this forth in this way. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God, right? Romans 14:12. Okay, therefore, right, I just take this, let's not make it our equipping and edifying to judge what everybody else is doing, but let's judge this rather, that we would be a church that would be in the love of Christ, in the truth. Okay? You know, you're tracking with me, that we would live our lives in such a way with, it's going to take lots of grace. Okay? It's going to take lots of grace. In fact, we should almost really end Sunday's Bible study with, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've been prepared for this tonight. So again, double E, double plus. You got the E's, right? Equip and edify, equip and edify. Paul says in 14, for I know, he says, I know and am persuaded. The problem is in church, most people are persuaded without knowing. Or most people know without the persuasion. See, this is equipping and edifying. So if we judge rather that we here would know and be persuaded, know and persuaded by the Lord Jesus, not persuaded by this website, this doctrine, this seminary, this pastor, this teacher. No, I know and am persuaded. I call my pastor up and say, what do you think about this? He says, well, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you? Okay, I got it. I mean, you think that when you talk to me, I get talked to the same way. Well, what did the Holy Spirit show you to do? You have the scriptures. I mean, this is equipping and edifying. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus there is nothing unclean of itself. The apostle to the Gentiles, we need this. This understanding, this is Acts 10. This is Peter. Rise, Peter, kill and eat. He saw this whole sheet that was let down from heaven filled with, again, in Peter's mind, if I eat that, that's unclean. Lord, that's unclean. That's not for me to do. And he says, rise, Peter, kill and eat. And he's unlearning and then learning what the Lord Jesus has planned. Now, we got every opportunity. We have every opportunity to get onto this together tonight if we judge this rather, that we would live our lives in such a way. And I agree with 14. And again, the whole thought of this over not judging on what day or food or not food, whether it be kosher. You think of the Jewish part of Jesus' church. Do they have to eat kosher? And then you have the Gentiles who are amongst the worship of all the idols. And then they're dealing with, was this offered to an idol or not? That's the format on the... And then is it Sabbath? Does the church that belongs to Jesus, is there two churches? Is there a Jewish church? And then is there a Gentile church? And so you can understand that Paul, when he's writing this, he describes clearly nothing is unclean of itself. He's talking very clearly about unclean foods. He says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus. But he puts this in there, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Thus revealing that this, what he's talking about, is not about what Paul is saying here, but in that conscience that he has between him and the Lord and the faith that he has, he says nothing is unclean. I can eat everything. In fact, when he's ministering to the church in Corinth, he describes unto them that you can go to the marketplace, buy freely, eat freely. If you're going to buy in the marketplace, consider Corinth. You do understand Corinth. That was the worship of the fertility goddess. And the whole city was overtaken with the sexual immorality that was the worship of the false idols. So these sacrifices that were offered up to the gods, it was offered up. And so he says to them, don't ask. He said, it's not unclean. So, you know, I don't know if any of you would have a trouble going around and saying, are you going to eat halal meat? Would you actually go in and buy that? And so well, it's not unclean. And you say, well, I'm not going to eat that because that was offered up in the name of Allah. Or you think of some of these things. This is not so far away from us. See, but I'm going to determine and judge rather here. I'm going to be with the Apostle Paul. Just like I believe what he taught us, that some men esteem one day above another's, other men esteem every day alike. I'm in that category. I'm free. Again, and so now you catch my understanding is that I can eat freely all foods. There is nothing spiritual or unspiritual about any food whatsoever. That's what Paul's saying. Nothing unclean. But, right, so he says, some, not everybody esteems food that way. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. So double E, double plus tonight. Okay, everybody good on this? Equip and edify, equip and edify. Or if you prefer, edify and equip. But equip and edify sounds really good. Double E. Growing up into perfection, maturing. This is a handle here. And then now to see if your brother is grieved by thy meat. If you really meet someone who says, well, I don't eat that food because it stumbles. So then we judge rather. And if you say, well, I'm going to do whatever I want to do, that's not walking charitably. You might recognize that word there. That's the agape. It's conjugated out of the agape love. You're not walking in love. Not walking in love. And then he says, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not your good be evil spoken of. I love the way 12 ended. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. And now he simply describes, you can go forth and do good and say, this, it's good and right to eat all that God's put before you. What did Paul teach the church? Pray. Thank God for it. And again, and if there's any like doubt about like eating it, if it's going to cause you any trouble, he says, pray and ask God to thank him for it and ask him to purify. Prayer. Right? You understand what Paul's taught in the New Testament. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. So the thought here when it comes to this, you'll see that liberty is not mentioned in Romans 14. Oh, it is in 1 Corinthians 8. When you, this liberty of yours, I can eat whatever I want. So if you would invite, again, Sunday afternoon, a family over, in Corinth, and you would invite them over. Maybe you're reaching out to your neighbors. Let's eat this, and then they ask you, well, was that offered up to an idol? And you say, I bought it in the marketplace. I don't know. We can eat freely. But if you go to their house and they say unto you, hey, this was offered to an idol. You know what Paul instructed them? He took that same stance. He says, let not your good be evil spoken of. Yeah, you can eat it. There's nothing unclean about it. But he talks about the demons behind the idols, and he says, on their conscience and for their sake, say, no thanks. See, this part that we walk in this, to walk in love. Walk in love. So love, well, agape, love suffers long and is kind. Okay, what else does it do? Or what does it not do? What does it do? Love suffers long and is kind is, it's what? Does not envy, does not boast, does not parade itself, not puffed up, does not seek, that's the one I'm looking for, does not seek its own. Just took a while to get to it. I didn't know that one I wanted, but that's the one I want. Love does not seek its own. Now, let's judge this. Judge this rather that we would be a church that says what? Our love here does not seek its own. Just take that simple stance. It doesn't matter what it's about, okay? And this is a very important thing. Oh, there's doctrine that's lies that we don't want false doctrine. We're not talking about doctrine. Remember how we said, we're not even talking about sin and flesh. That was laid out at the end of 13. We're already in this study, and this is not about sin. It's not about doctrine. This is about practice or preference of practice. And that understanding is, let us judge rather that we're going to walk in love and then not let the good that we do unto others be evil spoken of. Oh, you know what they're like at that church. So you know that happens because the first part of 13 is followed instead of the second part of 13 is followed. Oh, you got a church over there. When we have people come in here complaining about the church they come from, both my wife and I at some point in that conversation say, go back and fix it. I had a guy visit on Sunday. He's talking about then this issue and that issue. I just said, I don't really want you here. I said, why don't you go back and work with the people you're working with at the other church that you're now trying to go find a different place to be at? I don't want you here. And some of you are like, oh, a pastor who doesn't want more people and more money? Yeah, it's you've heard the joke, right? The plane is going down and they get the pastor on the plane. Come, pastor, the plane is going to crash. Do something spiritual. So he took up an offering. Okay? I don't get to pull that one out very often. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. See, what's this one truth about Jesus that somehow could be glossed over? He went about doing good. What if that was what we were known of? When people would say, "Oh, Calvary Chapel," and they'd say, like, and then you're like, "Oh, that's not the way they are." Do you defend every Christian? Now we're on to this. Judge this rather not to judge one another, but judge this rather do what? No stumbling block. So you're talking to an unbeliever. It's like someone's going to talk to you about your brother or another church. Oh, I'm going to stick with the pastor. Like when people start talking, like, no, I'm with the pastor. I'm with the leaders of that church. I'm with them. What was their judgment? What'd you do? See, because I've judged this rather that I... Do you really want trouble? See, and this is what I lay out. For the kingdom of God. Oh, yeah, it doesn't say the kingdom of Seth. It doesn't say the kingdom of Calvary Chapel. It doesn't say... There really are no little kingdoms. This is the work in the kingdom of God. You do realize Jesus has many branches in his kingdom. I love what my pastor says. I work for this worldwide organization. And has branch offices everywhere in this world, in every language. And we, together, right, we get to preach, right, to save people from hellfire. Or his phrase, we hand out fire insurance policies to be saved from hell. What a thing this church is. And our view here, again, equipping and edifying, maturing, growing up, to view the church. View the church the way Jesus does. It's his church. He has differences of ministries. That's a very good thing. He has diversities. That's a very good thing. Again, you think about our stance on going through the Word of God and being Spirit-filled and operating in that. We must do that because that's what we're called to do. And you need to understand that we need to operate that way. Again, and that's why I say do it according to the Scriptures so that your good cannot be evil spoken of. Think of the gifts of the Spirit, how they've been abused, and then like, I don't want anything to do with that, some people would say. But when they're genuine and you got your Bible, like, look at this. And that those gifts of prophecy are cut into people's hearts. And there's gifts of like, how would I say this? Just because there's fake faith healers, do you not want the genuine gift? If I told you that there were counterfeit $20 bills going around Fargo now, and the only way to keep you safe would be for you to give me all the 20s and 100s in your wallet, and I will keep you safe from counterfeit money. Listen, we don't think like that. See, but we need to operate in this, as in this equip and edify. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not food and drink. But righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's fruit of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. This is fruit of the Holy Spirit. What do we learn on Sunday? There is no measure to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit upon Jesus without measure. I want to grow up unto him who is the head. That stature and fullness of Christ. More and more fullness of God. What else do we learn? There is no measure of the love of God. In fact, the love of God is greater than knowledge. There is no measure, again, or law against the fruit of the Holy Spirit. For he that in these things serveth Christ. 18 is about, this is ministry. This is church. Again, I'm framing context for us. Romans 12, genuine church, glorious church. You get on to submitted in chapter 13. And then you get on to the armor of light, walking in that, the church. Think of that. Church walking in the light. Ephesians 5, walk in love, walk in light. Church reproving the darkness. That's armor, right? Bright shining light of the Christians here, full in the love and the power of God, walking in love, walking in the light, reproving darkness, exposing these things as you go out and live your life. And describing this serving Christ. He that in these things serves Christ. I looked at this a little bit and thought about that. You know, a lot of times we'll concentrate on our walk. Even when you hear it, Ephesians 5, walk in love. Oh, it's the context for the church. When you everything about the book of Ephesians. Again, it's for the church, but we'll get onto this and our focus will be our manner of living. But I'm going to show you something here. For in he that in these things serveth Christ, I serve in the kingdom of God. Every ministry that you do here, again, has been built upon that we serve Christ. You're like, some of you are like, well, which serving is that? Is that the deacon serving, that diakonos? This one's the bondservant. This now matches you back to the beginning of Romans 12, where you offer your body as a living sacrifice. Serving in his kingdom. I serve the Lord Christ. And that's a very fun word study to take, serving Christ, 3895 in your Thompson chain. I'm not going to get to it tonight. But some of you actually go and study these things. I've been exhorting you, men. Right? Study these. Know these things. If you want to serve Christ, study this verse. Because, well, if we're going to be his representatives, his ambassadors, I'll borrow that term from 2 Corinthians 5. Well, if he's going to be able to send you and you're going to fully represent him in your work, right, in your business dealings, and or how you handle, you do realize how you handle the riches of this world is your testing and proving ground for the true riches of the kingdom of God. That this serving Christ, for he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God. You hear it now? Offer, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. Now, we're going to get on to pleasing our neighbor in chapter 15, 1, 2, 3. Different word for pleasing. 2 Corinthians 5, 9, therefore we make it our aim, right? Our target, therefore we labor, and that's the way the King James says that word, to be well-pleasing unto him. It's the same word, accepted. Okay? The pleasing down in 15, it's a different word. This one is this accepted in God's eyes. Now we're on to something. Now we're on to what I believe this chapter is about. As we study and apply that double E, double plus. Double E, double plus. Acceptable to God and approved of men. Well, I would like you... Oh, I got to go here first. I do want to look this one up. Accepted. That's not the one I want. Find your way to 1 Thessalonians. That's where I want to go. Two verses to grab. 1 Thessalonians 3, 12, all the way into 1 Thessalonians 4, 1. Whose kingdom are you serving in? Kingdom of God. Serving the Lord Christ, right? Jesus Messiah. His bondservant. 2 Corinthians 5, 15, right? He died for all. Those that live should no longer live for themselves. Love seeks not its own. Should no longer live for themselves, but should live for the one who bought them, died, paid the price, and lives again. 1 Thessalonians 3, 12. Now the Lord make you increase and abound in love one toward another. The Lord make you increase and abound in love one toward another, toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. Remember the glorious church portion of genuine church, what we studied? This is great stuff. So double E, equip and edify, and here's your double plus, increase and abound. Double E, double plus. The Lord make you to increase and abound in love toward one another and toward all men. Isn't that our desire? To grow up in all things that are him, that is the head in Christ, to the measure of the stature of the fullness, we need the Holy Spirit. I don't know another way to come to this and then say unto you, that which has been provided to us to be filled unto the fullness of God is the baptism with the Holy Spirit, that the Bible clearly says the Messiah will baptize with the Holy Spirit. Now the real question is that promise for you? Well, according to Acts chapter 2, that promise is for you who were here that day on the day of Pentecost and to all who are far off who would believe. Well, we're far off and we believe. It is that straightforward in the grammar. The promise of the Holy Spirit, the baptism with the Holy Spirit, is for today. Don't listen to the Bible teachers who say when that which is complete has come, when again you think of when I put off my childish ways and that which is... perfect as the word has come. It's not the Bible that's perfect. No, it is perfect, but not in the context of that verse. It's a reference when Messiah himself comes. That's a very clear thing. So yes, prophecy will continue until the Messiah. That the gifts of the Spirit will continue. And when I describe this tonight, and again, double plus, this 1 Thessalonians 3:12, make you to increase and abound. Now there's a way to increase a number. Think of your measure. Think of Ephesians 3. You can ask, you were told to ask. God is able to do more than we could ask or think. There's an increase and abound. There's a double plus verse there. Now when I look at this in this way, in the way that these words are in the Greek, I'm not going to pronounce them for you because I've just been hacking up pronunciation and it doesn't really help anybody out. But make you to increase. I'm just going to give you the definition and how it's used. I'll give you the first one. Superabound. Superabound. So you could increase if you have the number 7 and you want to increase it, I'll just add to it. Or if you have nothing in your net and then you listen to the Lord and he says throw it on the other side, it could superabound to 300 and... Anybody know the number? 318, isn't it? You can look it up now and see if I'm right. Superabound. Hey, double E, double plus. What do we want to superabound it? Okay, so if you look at this, again, I'm not going to pronounce the Greek word, but the definition, okay, to do, to make, or to be more, to increase, by extension, to superabound, to abound, abundant, to make increase, to have over. Oh, two little fishes. Two little fishes and, you know that number, 5 loaves of bread. What'd they pick up? 12 fragments of bread, 12 basketfuls left over. That's the increase. You could increase by adding it. Is it 318? 153, ah. Thank you. 153 is still super abounding. Where did I get 318? Okay. Thanks, Bronson. You make me look good now. Correct all my faults. See, what am I giving to us tonight? What am I really saying to us? So in this equipping and edifying, I'm saying we need to superabound. We need to increase in the love of God. We all know that this is what it is. When Paul writes to the Thessalonian church, and he uses two words, increase and abound, that there's two words there, and this is the double plus. Plus is increase. I'm using double plus for fun, but what if it was double factorial? Like, what's that? Where you multiply all these numbers, like 5 factorial is a big number. 5 times 4 times 3 times 2 times 1. For those of you who do these things, and if you don't do them, like, now you don't know, and what was that? But increase and abound. Abound. As to exceed a fixed number of measure. Think of where we were at on Sunday, right? The measure of our maturity in ministry. You know what I'm describing to us? You want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. What am I saying to us tonight? Double plus, right? Superabound, and again, the idea of this is abundance. This one is overflow. How beautiful would it be to serve the Lord from the overflow rather than that I have to? Or to be so filled up with God and the love, super abounding, that like I can't wait to get here on Sunday to serve in the kingdom of God as we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to whoever shows up. And everyone doing their part, super abounding in what? Judging the people who come in, looking at their clothing and say, you can't come in here, you can't sit here, you can't hear the gospel. Well, remember the book of James, the poor man sit at my feet, the rich man gets the best spot. Like, that's not super abounding, is it? We want to increase and abound. In other words, I want you to exceed the measure of your love. Fruit of the Spirit. How do you hear that? I'll never get there. I read those verses. I just try so hard. I'll never get to that. Is that how you read that? Fruit is a natural increase or an abundance of that which has been planted and abides in and grows up and then produces. Aren't you glad that it's called the produce section in the market instead of the factory section? Those are in the other parts of the processed food parts of the grocery store. Don't you love the produce section? That you're like, now this I know didn't have anything processed in it. See, our love is not processed. See, we understand fruit. If we're honest, we understand it. And fruit should be the increase and abundance of the love relationship that we have through God, being baptized by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ himself does that baptism. And what comes forth from that is the abundance of fruit. And I don't need to scroll my paper. There we go. There's another verse. Continue with me into 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Furthermore, then, maybe Paul was Norwegian. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren. So hear this. Again, this matches that urgent, again, admonish. We beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus. So you hear this? This connects us back to Romans 14:18. He that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable and approved. Again, by the Lord Jesus. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that this is the connection. This is for us. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how ye ought to walk and please God, so you would abound plus and plus. Double E, double plus. Now, I set this before you in this way, and this gets onto the will of God, your sanctification. Not abstaining from unclean foods. Guess where Paul takes the Thessalonian church? He says, abstain from sexual sin. It rampant in the Roman Empire. Think about it. The worship, that was all a part of it. We're not in any different situation when Jesus came in his first coming than we are now, just waiting for his second coming. It was just as evil then and corrupt as it is now. So we have to learn how to possess our vessels. We need to learn how to abound more and more, how we ought to walk and please God, accepted by him. Now, how do you get onto this double plus? Back to Romans 14, verse 9. So it's not about food and drink. So don't even worry about food and drink. But super abound in righteousness, peace, and joy. Increase and abound in righteousness. Increase and abound in peace. Increase and abound in joy. Increase and abound in serving Christ. Increase and abound in living acceptable to God and then approved of men. Not pleasing man. Approved. Hey, that guy's genuine. I stand up and I say words. Do I want to please everybody? If I want to please everybody, I will not be found to be a servant of Christ. The ministry is not like that. God's word is sharp. You can't be truthful and honest and loving with the word of God and think everybody's going to be pleased with you. But what can you do? Approved. It's a term to describe genuine coins when they were all metal. Those that were cheating would shave down the coins to try to get them as thin as possible and still try to pass them off because they were sold by weight. But those that kept the proper weight of a coin, they would say, this is approved. See, that's all that is. Let us therefore, verse 19, pursue. Let us therefore persecute the things which make for peace. Chase them down. See, we always think of persecution. The word persecution is to chase away. Do you know that the word persecute is just, it's with that effort. Like, I have got to get rid of that. It works the other way too in the same word. I have got to have that. How do you superabound? How do you get this? Well, present yourself to it. Pursue after things which make for peace. Now take that back to 13, middle verse. Judge this rather, not to put a stumbling block or trip another up in your brother's way. So I'm going to pursue for those things that make peace. So when you meet another Christian, don't say, well, where do you go to church? Right? Because what does that do? It invites judgy. Right? Judgy environment. But what should you rather do? If you make it your effort to be at peace, what should you do? If you're, again, superabound, increase in love and in pursuing peace with others, they may edify one another. So if we're equipping and edifying, how do you live in such a way when you meet another believer? Well, I do it different ways. One, I met a believer. We were discipling a brother, going through the Holy Spirit, baptism with the Spirit, talking about the gifts and doing that openly in a public place. And an old saint comes on and says, where do you guys go to church? I say, with you. That's what I said to him. He's like, well, no, you don't. Yes, we do. You believe in Jesus, don't you? Well, we're in the same body of Christ. You know, or I would say, what version of the Bible? I use the same Bible you do. I mean, you do understand all these English translations. It's still what? That's a Bible. So again, you can pursue those things that would divide you. That's not what this says here. I am not going to join together with other ministries that do different things and say, I'm going to do ministry with them, but I'm still one with them. You need to understand this. We're to edify one another. Go do what you're doing. Again, and if they're not of the Lord, you should be able to encounter that when you share the gospel with them or try to have fellowship, or get this. Trust the Holy Spirit within you that when you have fellowship with them and they have the same Holy Spirit, like, and the Spirit will do that. Be praying for those gifts of discerning of spirits, and you meet the other believers. Like, they're a believer. Hey, are you a believer? You know, these are the things that this is about. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and the things wherewith one may edify another. So if we judge that we should be an edifying church to all the believers that we find out there, one of the best ways to edify someone is to say, what? Tell me how you were saved. Instead of going to, where do you go to church? Say, tell me about Jesus in your life. What's he? Tell me how you came to Jesus. Where'd you hear the gospel? Tell me how you got, I'd love to hear how you got saved. And then it's rather interesting. People say things like, well, I've always been a Christian. Tell me more. What do you mean you've always been a Christian? And then I'll say, well, I heard the gospel, and I just start to share my testimony, and this is what Jesus has done for me. And next thing you know, I have them edified and built up, and now their testimony is strengthened. And you know what? This was when I heard the gospel. See, I believe we should be a super abounding and ever-increasing, loving, true, genuine, glorious church. It's getting longer now, isn't it? 153 on the other side of the book. That's super abounding. Okay, let's wrap this up. For meat, destroy not the work of God. Do you hear that in 20? So it's far better to say, let's not look for our differences over these preferences of practice. Honestly. You meet another Christian. Again, if they have a church, don't try to get people to come here to church. Come to our church. It's better than your church. What? How could you possibly ever say that? Now, I really like what we do. I mean, I'm not saying that. I don't like what we do. I'm not saying get out of here and go find another church. Although I have told people that before. You'd be better off somewhere else. Because it's pretty clear I'm not your pastor. You don't like me. I have told the lady that one time. But this, for meat, destroy not the work of God. You have to understand, God is at work. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that one who eats with offense. Again, that's with, you think about the kosher or Jewish church. If you were around the Jewish believers, you would say, I'm not going to eat these things. Peter stumbled when he played the hypocrite, and that's where Paul then says to Peter, he says unto him, he's like, when you were here with the Gentiles, you ate with them, but when the Jews came, then you wouldn't eat with them anymore. He says, that's hypocrisy. See, the thing is, he should have stayed the same. If he's eating with the Gentiles, then the Jews should be able to see him, Jewish believers seeing him eating with the Gentiles. Like, I'm one with them. So I just operate in that. I am one with all the believers, the true believers. You say, but how do you know if someone's not a believer? Is the worst thing that could happen to you that you made a mistake about somebody being a believer or not? Is that the worst thing that could happen to you? No, the worst thing that could happen to you is that Satan would come in your front door and you wouldn't even detect him. See, that's far worse than to say, you know what, I thought this person was a believer. Oh, I thought you were a believer all along. Well, let me share Christ with you. It's always only one turn. Do not destroy the work of God. All things pure, right? It is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or made weak. Nor do you read into this and say, well, then the stricter part of the church then rules over the church. Listen, that's not to take legalism. This is not a license for legalism. You can't do that. Now, I have a pastor friend who not only does he have tattoos, he makes tattoos and puts them on people. That's, for some, that's a stumbling or an offense. And you go back and look at that in the Old Testament. I said, are you getting marked up for the dead? No. Okay, then not a problem. You got to, at some point, but if it stumbles you, I mean, what you can teach, you can increase, but if your brother's like, hey, I still just don't think that's of God, say, not a problem. We're not going to talk about that. I'm not going to come back and roll up my sleeve. Hey, look at my tattoo. I'm not going to do that to him. So in 22, hast thou faith? Now, I'm going to lay this forth for us. Okay? The love of God is given without measure. The love of God surpasses knowledge. The love of God, this is very important. We're told in Romans 12:3 that to everyone has been given a measure of faith. We have to understand that 22 comes along, hast thou faith? Everybody has a measure of faith. And I want to increase my faith, Luke 17:7-10, especially in serving Christ. Luke 17:7-10, especially in serving Christ. Okay. That's for you who want to serve. Luke 17:7-10. Hast thou faith? I want to increase it. Lord, increase our faith. Well, he says, hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Now, one of the things I find out is that pride and selfishness causes most of the strifes in life. So when you have rather than having humble church and you end up with prideful church, we're almost inviting a difference to say, well, what do you think about that? We end up arguing over stuff that doesn't need, or you can't even solve. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he allows. Paul's very clear. He says, you're far happier to not have a list of things that you can't partake of as a Christian. Now, Paul says, everything is lawful for me. You can hear that. The biggest and broadest, again, if you will, philosophy ever out there, the Christian philosophy. Paul says, everything is lawful for me. I can do anything. He says, but not everything is beneficial or profitable. So that means I don't go do certain things because what? Yeah, it wouldn't be good for me. But just think of everything that God set you free from. And then when he set you free from it, there's no inner bondage to it, then you don't even think about where you go. For example, when I first started walking with the Lord, you got to go back in the day when all the magazines lined the checkout counter at the grocery store, Cosmopolitan and all the other ones, and all those magazines, that they just put them right there. And I'm trying to get pure in my coming to Christ. And I go to the grocery store. I don't like going to the grocery store because what? All these magazines. So I put the blinders on, horse blinders, right? Like this. And so that I can't see that. But now guess what? Totally free from that. I don't even think about it. And now, I mean, you would say, I can't go to the grocery store. That's not of God. See, because this is how we are when we have an inner bondage. We usually express it in an outward like, that's not very holy. That's not a good movie. I wouldn't watch that TV show. Here are we talk. See, all I'm revealing that when I went to the grocery store that I had an inner bondage to lust of the eyes, that I would look at all these magazines and I don't want to do that anymore. But once I'm free, guess what? I go all kinds of places. See, and then I learned that in the first 2 or 3 years of following. And then get this, serving Christ. Have you not noticed that when you say, I'm going to serve Christ, all of a sudden this need for the fullness of God arises? Because I need more power in these works of service. I need, get this, more power to have a greater power over sin and the flesh. Hast thou faith, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in the thing that he allows. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat. So again, if you say, I can't eat this food in my relationship with God, and then if you do, like, oh no. He says, because he eateth not of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now what abounds over sin? Grace abounds. So if you really want to take this tonight, double E, double plus, this is the equipping and edifying for you to superabound and abound in the love of God. Loving the other, thinking more about the other, loving the other brother, if you need a tagline. Instead of judging the other brother, love the other brother. And really work at that. Really work at that when you meet another believer. My whole goal is to edify them. My whole goal is to have the grace of God abound. Oh, you'll be tested and tried. You'll meet somebody and you'll get, what is that? And then you're going to sit there, are they looking down on me right now? The moment you've gone to that, what do you know in your heart? That's love of self. Did you think it was something else? Fear. Same thing. Love, self, fear, man, equal. Why do we fear man? Because we love ourselves. And what are they going to, yeah? Amen. So double E, double plus, increase and abound. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. So what we're going to do tonight, give you opportunity to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Who is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit? Jesus does. I ask you one simple question. Did he stop doing that? No. You say, well, he went to heaven. Yes, in fact, the Holy Spirit couldn't be given till he went to heaven. The Holy Spirit was sent, again, indwelling every believer upon believing and receiving the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not about having a spiritual encounter with Jesus like some other spirit. It's about believing and receiving his gospel, and then the Spirit comes and lives within because you're born of God, because Jesus cleansed you from sin. Do you know that the baptism with the Holy Spirit is the spiritual birthright for every Christian? Now, you notice I'm not saying born-again Christian or like, because you're not a Christian unless you're born of God. So I know I have friends who won't use the term Christian when referring to themselves, because it's, you know, and I, but we still are. A Christian is born of God. So we need the Holy Spirit. Now, in that baptism with the Holy Spirit, the Bible is very clear, using three different prepositions to describe the relationship of the believer with the Holy Spirit. Before you're saved, the Holy Spirit's around you, drawing you to Christ. When you believe and receive the gospel of Jesus Christ, being born of him, the Spirit comes and lives in you. The Greek preposition en, E-N. Okay? And then the last one, described in the book of Acts, how the power of the Holy Spirit would come upon the believers. The Holy Spirit came upon them. That upon is the Greek preposition epi, E-P-I. And we see this over and over in the scriptures, and you think about the uponness of the Holy Spirit or the overflow, the releasing of the power of God upon your life to do what? Double plus. Who loves more than Jesus? I need more Jesus for more love. Yeah, back to my counterfeit. But you said, but there have been those who have counterfeited the gifts of the Spirit. I don't want anything to do with them. Well, just give me your 20s. There's counterfeit 20s. Or if that's, again, I guess inflation now, a counterfeit hundreds. See, we want the real thing. And if you're serving Christ, what do you know? Oh, like, I need the power of God for works of service. Or how about this one? You're fighting against sin and that inner bondage. What do you know? I need that baptism with the Holy Spirit to have a greater power over my carnal nature and the sin that it likes to do. So we got a little bit of time. In my mind, I was going to save 15 more minutes. I never do. I don't know why I think I would. But I'm going to give you opportunity tonight. This is a believer's meeting. Sometimes they're called afterglows. All right? we practice this, the continuation, the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm going to offer this tonight. If you want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit, again, first question for you is, are you born of Him? If you've believed and received the gospel, that Jesus died for your sin, and you've received His forgiveness, you're born of Him, you can be filled with the Spirit. For all you men who are at the men's conference and you came to the light, I'm like, now's the time to get refilled with the Spirit. Darkness gone, Holy Spirit in, power abounding and increasing yet more and more. Or you would maybe describe a torrent of water, living water flowing forth from your belly. You do understand these are all the same terms to help us understand just how much we're to increase and abound in the love of God. So Heavenly Father, we thank You for tonight. And we wait upon Your Holy Spirit. Lord, You've been waiting for us. I'm very clear on that. You've been waiting for us. You prepared the work. And Lord, we don't hesitate now to come to be filled with Your Spirit. Lord, we ask that Jesus tonight, You would baptize with Your Holy Spirit. You would give us that power to be Your witnesses. Lord, a greater power over the sin in our lives, a greater power over that desire, and a greater power, Lord, for works of service, to serve the Lord Christ. It's Jesus, it's You. So we ask tonight, come and fill us. Lord, thank You, Jesus, that You do this. Just pour out Your Spirit upon us now in Jesus' name. Amen.